This is the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change. Now, back to Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We go out to the Ryan Kelly phone lines and welcome in the 25th coach in St. Louis Blues history, Mike Yeo. Coach, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what's up, Coach? Hey, listen, the last couple games have just been fun to watch. The guys are engaged. You see a bunch of passion in their eyes. What do you notice the past couple games that's just different than the last couple weeks? What in specific do you notice that's been different?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, the first thing you have to say is it was an emotional time for us, and we all felt like we probably let Hitch down, and you know, so I think it's a chance for all of us to you know, look in the mirror, dig a little deeper, and it puts the focus back on ourselves as far as what can we personally do. I think the players are taking that same perspective, but you know, it doesn't take long for the confidence to come back in your game. All of a sudden, you start to have a little success. You start to remember, you know, what it is that you need to do well to bring the results. And the last couple of games, you can see, even in Philly, we started, I would say, fairly tentatively. We defended well, but we couldn't execute, and we couldn't get on the attack at all. But as the game wore on, we started thinking less, we started reacting more, and we started to get to our game, and I think we carried a lot of that confidence going into Ottawa, and it just built from there.
I think you're right. What I notice is it seems that the boys are having fun playing. The last couple of games, there's smiles on the bench, and you know, it's good to see that kind of stuff. But with these call-ups, and I look at these guys, and I always talk about this. When if I ever saw these kids coming off the bus right before right after they got called up, I'd just tell them, hey, embrace this. Make something, just like my father would tell me, make something happen. What do you tell these kids that are getting called up? How do you keep them loose? How do you keep them to play their game like they did in the minors? Because when you get called up, you just kind of get lost sometimes. So what do you say to these kids?
Well, you know what? Part of it is that I don't want to say too much to them. The best part for us is the systems are the same down in Chicago with the Wolves. So when these kids come up, you don't have to bombard them with information and try to ask them to do a whole bunch of things that they're not used to. They come up, and it's pretty much a seamless transition. You kind of, you know, let them know what line they're playing on, and sort of, you know, as far as what expectations and, you know, what we need from them, what to expect from the other team. But more than anything else, it's just like you said, is here's your chance. So, you know, I want to see what they can do. And I think if you, you know, put any restrictions on them or tell them what they can't do or what to be afraid of, then it makes their life a little more difficult. So these guys just came up. They played their game. They played the same game that they've been playing down there. And, you know, I've said it a number of times the past few days, that coaching staff in Chicago, led by Craig Berube, has been doing an outstanding job because all these guys have been ready.
Coach, what do you think your biggest strength is as a team this year that maybe we haven't seen all of through the first half of the season? You've been somewhat inconsistent with your win streaks and losing streaks, and then obviously the road woes, but there's got to be a strength that you now are emphasizing and you think the team can utilize to finish out the season. What do you think that is?
Well, I think probably the strength, and we could, you know, you could employ a number of different systems, whatever you want it to be, or change a few different things, but we got a bunch of guys that are tough to play against, and you know, whether it's a guy like Vladdy who's tough to defend, whether it's a guy like Steiner up front who's you know, not only tough to defend but also is a real tough defender himself, and he's tough to try to create against, and the group of defensemen that we have, you look at the play of our goaltenders right now, I think it's just a group that's tough to play against. And you know, when we embrace that and we play the type of game that makes life real difficult on the other team, you know, it doesn't have to be only with physicality. It's also how you play with the puck. You know, if we can be a little bit more of a puck possession team, you know, execute a little bit better, get on the attack a little quicker, get in the offensive zone a little more, then I think that we can really take teams out of their game.
Coach, I saw that you reached out to Coach Bylsma asking for any pointers that he may have from having to take over the Penguins when they only had 25 games left in the season in 2009. What pointers did you take away from that conversation that you'd like to implement with this team?
Well, for me, I was part of it, so I remember a lot of the stuff, but I just kind of wanted to get it through, you know, through from his perspective and from him coming up and sort of what he remembered, because I remember a couple of changes that he made. I remember a couple of things that you know, really took hold with me. You know, I try to embrace that. For me, like, my experience with Pittsburgh was I worked with Michelle Therrien, who was a great coach, and then Dan Bylsma, who was a great coach. And what Dan came in and what he did, which I really respected, is he didn't try to overhaul everything. He recognized that Mike was a really good coach and that there was a lot of really good things in place. Tried to add to a couple areas where he thought that maybe he had a couple fresh ideas, a couple new ideas, and build on top of that already solid game. And that's similar to what we're doing right here. I mean, Hitch, you know, you don't go to the conference finals by accident and have the success that he's had by accident. The team's had a lot of success. There's a good plan in place, and, you know, we don't want to stray from that, but we would like to try to build onto it a little bit here and there if we can.
Mike Yeo, Blues coach, joining us here on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. What are the one or two things, coach, that you have added on or changed since you've taken over?
Well, that's a good question. You know, for us, part of the focus has to be on our 5-on-5 play. And, you know, we've talked about it as far as a checking mentality. I think we've talked about it all year long that, that we've given up too many quality chances and haven't defended well enough. So obviously for us, a big emphasis, a big focus is on our, in our own zone, to defend a little bit better, to protect the middle of the ice a little bit better, make sure that we're giving our goalies a chance to see the puck. And if they're going to face shots, we'd like to keep them to the outside. You know, but part of that for us is, you know, obviously I think the best defense you can have is having the puck and playing offense. So I think that we're trying to focus a little bit on some areas of execution that, you know, in terms of how we come out of our zone, how we execute through the neutral zone, and if we can do that a little better, you know, as a five-man unit, then we'll spend less time defending and more time on the attack, and that's sort of been the result that we've seen in the last five periods.
One thing I do notice is the energy on the bench. You do watch the bench, and you're always positive. You're always talking to people. You're patting guys on the back, and me and TJ were talking about how much I respected when a coach would notice something little that I did, like something I'd work on, like, let's say, getting the puck out of the zone. And I'd come back, and maybe no one else would notice it, but I'd get back, and the coach would come on, just give me a pat on the back. Wouldn't say a word, just that little pat on the back just helped me out so much. My question is, what's your game plan for 91, Vladimir Tarasenko? I think he has an absolute next level to him. What's your game plan with him to keep him positive, to keep him focused so he could dominate the way he should and could and has been? What's your game plan with him?
Well, just constant communication. I mean, I've had, you know, pretty much a conversation with Vladdy every day, you know, based on good game, bad game, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And we're just trying to work with each other to figure out how it's you know, going to move forward the best way possible. And, you know, for me, yesterday was a great example of it. And part of his plan, I think, is obviously, and I've, you know, being around guys like Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby and some of the great scorers, I know that, you know, what makes those guys amazing and so, you know, so special is how bad they want to score, how determined they are to score. You know, sometimes what can hurt them a little bit is the frustration of not scoring. What I loved yesterday was, you know, he didn't score in the first period and things weren't going great, but he stayed with it. And eventually, if he can stay with it and he can continue to go out and do all the things that we're asking, they won't be able to keep him. They won't be able to keep him off the board. And I think we saw that last night.
Hey, Coach, how important is it for you to have and develop that relationship with Petro right now? You know, he's having his first year as a captain, having the coaching change, keeping the guys together. How important is it for you to have that rapport with him so it gets extended to the guys on the ice?
Yeah, I think, I think it's important with everybody, first of all. I mean, you know, you guys heard Cam, like, every player is important. Every play is important for our team right now. That's like sort of the mentality that we want to bring to the group right now that, you know, and you see these young guys coming up and how they're contributing. But obviously, you know, as a captain of your hockey team, you know, it's imperative that him and I are, you know, speaking the same language so that, you know, that when I'm talking about something, when I'm spreading a message, when I leave the room, he continues to share that message with the group. And I've got full confidence in that, you know, and that's what he was doing when Hitch was there. That's what he's going to do going forward. Just because that's the character that he is. He just wants to win. That's the only thing that he wants to do. And obviously, this has been a trying year for all of us. And, you know, in his first year as being captain, he's had to deal with an awful lot. But my message to him more than anything else is just be yourself and just play your game, because those two things are enough. And that's why you were named captain in the first place.
We're talking to Blues head coach Mike Yeo on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. Coach, what is the pulse of the team right now? It looks like you guys are trending up, but transition periods are difficult. And we heard for years under Hitch that players would get worn out with all the meetings, and there would be some complaints. Obviously, you have a little bit different style. Every coach does. What is the pulse of this group now?
Well, we're, part of the meeting yesterday before the game was that we're going to continue to have meetings because we got to keep building our game. So, you know, like things feel like they're, you know, on the way up, but things can turn just as quickly. And we're trying to build our game and, you know, we'll keep working at that. But, for me, the mindset has to be that we're not satisfied. It's great. We've kind of gotten off to a pretty good start in the last four games and a good start to this road trip. But things can turn in a hurry if all of a sudden we don't take care of business tomorrow night. And so for me, it's a big opportunity tomorrow, and that's got to be our focus. It's just a matter of staying in the moment, staying focused on, whether it's if it's a meeting right now, then let's make sure we have your attention. If it's practice that we need, then let's make sure we have your full effort. And, when it comes time to game, let's make sure that we got the full commitment. If we do that every day, then I think we'll look back and say that we did a heck of a job.
Coach, what's this team's identity?
Well, that's a great question, and something that we've already talked to the players about, and something that we can't name it right now, to be honest with you. Like, we're trying to put obviously we've got players here, and we've got a game that we're trying to put in place, but you can't just say a few words, and then all of a sudden that's what you are. I think that what you have to have happen is that you have to build a game, you have to start playing that game consistently, and then next thing you know, you start hearing teams say, using words like fast, using words like aggressive, using words like physical, whatever the case is. That's one thing that I remember about Pittsburgh. We kind of stumbled for half the season, and next thing you know, about 20 games into Dan's tenure, we were having a meeting about our identity, and that's when we really started to figure out what it was. Certainly it helps to know what that is and to really get after it, but it's not something that we can just try to make up. It's something that we have to earn through our game, and that's what we're looking to do.
Coach, a lot of fans kind of have lost hope after continuous losses and inconsistency both on the ice and kind of in net for a while, as you've seen, but we've already seen some big differences in the style of play the last few games under your reign. So what would you say to these fans about this team, kind of the heart in the locker room, as you try to turn things around?
Well, the only thing I'll say is that knowing this group, and this is my first year here, but being an assistant really gave me a chance to really get to know the individuals on a personal level, and plus the respect that I had from coaching against them. That even when things weren't going well, it was not a matter of guys not caring, guys not putting the effort forth, whatever the case is. I mean, we got lost a little bit. We got away from our game for a little bit. Unfortunately, it took something that was very emotional and difficult for all of us to refocus it. But it's a group that cares. I know that. And I believe that this is a group that's going to do everything we can from now to the rest of the year to make what's been a tough season up to this point, at least to have a real strong ending.
We're talking with Blues head coach Mike Yeo here on the Line Change, driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. It was a unique situation this season that you don't usually see with you as the coach in waiting with Hitch. What was that like behind the scenes?
Well, what I can say is that Hitch was unbelievable. Right from the first day we even talked about it. I gave him my word, and I feel really good about the fact that every day that I came to the rink, the only thing that I wanted to do, of course I wanted to learn from him, and of course I wanted to learn about the group, but more than anything else, I just wanted to help him. And so I know that, it's difficult, and in some ways I feel responsible, obviously, because now I'm the head coach and because I was there. But I do know that, I had his back every day. I think he felt that. I mean, I think that as the months went on in the season, I really felt like I really started to earn his trust. And I think that even by the time he was let go, I think things were as good at any point between Hitch and I as they were all year long. So you know, again, it's difficult. I still feel guilty that I'm here and in this position, and I feel grateful to him. The only thing I can say is that I'll try to do everything I can from here on out to make sure that it was all not for nothing.
Hey, Coach, a lot's been made about the situation in net right now between Jake and between Carter and who's really going to step up and be that guy. And it seems like they've done well going back and forth. How do you see going forward doling that timeout? Is it more or less just riding the hot hand? Or do you think the days are kind of moving forward, especially with having Marty in the net, working with those guys now?
Well, it's great having a guy like Marty around who's been in that situation, who understands. You know, for a guy like Jake, and we said he's our goalie. He's our goalie now. He's our goalie for the future, and so he understands that. You know, maybe he needs a day off right now mentally, or maybe he needs to get right back in the net, get in a rhythm. And you know, that's I think a real valuable tool for us. I think we've already seen the value of it. You know, and I'm going to credit him for the plan for the way that we started our goalies on these first two games of this trip. He looked at the Philly game, understanding that Carter had a real strong game against Philly before, and not only that, but that Jake, it would give him a couple of real good opportunities to have a couple of real good days on the ice to prepare his game to get ready for Ottawa. And so, you know, that those are the things that are invaluable, you know, to us as far as having a guy like Marty on the staff. But for us, I mean, obviously we know that we need both goalies, and both goalies, we know what they're capable of doing. But we definitely have to get Jake in a rhythm here and see what he can do, and we're excited to see if he can continue to push his game forward.
I got a couple things here for you, Coach, and it was kind of a depressing situation seeing Robbie Fabbri, who's turned out to be one of my favorite new players. Love watching the kid play. He plays with his heart on his sleeve, and he works, and he makes everybody on the ice better. And he's one of the few guys that really does that, and we're gonna miss the hell out of him. And that was a difficult situation. What is a game plan for him? And look, I've been through this, Coach. You get injured, you're a young kid, you got a little bit of popularity to you, you're making a little bit of money in this town, and you have a big break. And with the knee injuries, he's gonna be walking around soon, and he's gonna be doing stuff, and he's gonna have a lot of downtime. What is his game plan? Is he gonna be doing stuff in the community? I remember when I was injured in Jersey, I did all kinds of stuff in the community. Lou Lemieux had me doing all kinds of stuff. What's his game plan so he does the right thing so he can get back and rocking and rolling again?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously he's out for a long time here, so
I know.
The first part of it is that he has to rest, and he has to get prepared for the surgery that's coming up. So I think that's number one. We have to physically get him in a position where, you know, he goes into that surgery and he's, you know, setting himself up to have a quicker recovery. That's the first part. But, you know, part of it for me and not playing at the NHL level, but, you know, playing in the minors, playing in junior hockey, and I've had a number of those injuries. And as you know, the one thing that's real tough, especially for a young kid, is you all of a sudden you're part of a group, and all of a sudden you feel like you're not part of the group. So I definitely would like for him to be around us. I think it's important for him to continue to learn with our group while our group is going through this process right now. So I'd like to have him around as much as possible. He won't travel on the road with us, but still, while we're at home, he will be there with us for practice days. He'll be having his therapy, his treatment, and doing whatever he can to make sure he's ready going forward. And then there's obviously, excuse me, some bigger conversations as far as the months going forward, as far as what we do there with him. But we'll keep him involved. He's too important of a player for us to just push him aside right now and hope that, 6 months from now that he comes back and he's ready to go.
I know he's not happy with me right now because I know he listens to the show, so he's probably pretty pissed that I'm telling you guys to keep an eye on him for the next 6 months. But look, again, I went through that, and he's going to be bored, and he needs to stay with the team and be part of it because it's just a difficult time one way or the other, especially when you're that young and you don't have a family yet. But look, before I let you go, I knew that we'd be interviewing you, so I kind of creeped you out on YouTube. That's what I do when we interview guys. I creep them out beforehand, and I watch a couple of your fights. I watch a couple of your fights, and there was one where there's a scrum in the corner, and you fought for 2.5 minutes, toe-to-toe, switching hands, and I just loved it, man. And I want everybody listening out there that you could throw them, and I want everybody to know that. So, hey, I saw that, and that 2.5-minute fight, I really appreciated that, man.
Yeah, well, I wasn't in your class. I know that. I wasn't smart enough to stay away from that. But, you know what? You do what you have to do, as you know, as you made a career out of doing. So, you know, I love the game, and if I had to stick up for my teammates or do something like that, then that's what was called for. That was what I was willing to do.
Right on, Coach. Hey, you're doing a hell of a job. We're going to keep watching. We'll keep rooting for you, bud. Talk soon.
All right.
Thanks, Coach. Guys.
Thank you, Coach. That's Mike Yeo, the Blues head coach, joining us on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. Great interview. If you missed it, it'll be up for a
did I call him bud at the end?
You did.
Damn it.
At least you didn't say dude.
I said dude? No, I didn't say dude. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was.
He was great.
Some
he was
great
very
stuff
good.
There. I thought it was interesting that he said he feels guilty that he's
I
there.
I know.
And not
I was going
to
say, don't feel guilty. No. Embrace this, Mike. And no, look.
I think that tells you a lot about him. I think that's a good thing.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's why I brought that fighting thing up, too, because it just shows that, hey, he grinded it out in the minors and he stuck up for his teammates. There's a couple other fights on there where he was corking a couple guys too, so I like that style, and I had to bring that up.
I don't think you could have handled this transition any better than he has.
I know.
He's been great.
And he has said and done all the right things. The team is trending up, but meanwhile, he's taking care of everybody in the process.
And if you listen to what he said, it was all about keeping things simple. He mentioned staying in the moment.
Yes.
He mentioned, even with strategy, he mentioned protecting the middle of the ice, puck possession. He's keeping the foundation hitch laid, but keeping it back to basics.
Well, and the thing that I like about hearing him say that, about simplicity and keeping things to basics, but also going back to when we talked to Jeremy Roenick last week, and he said, this is a team with talent. This is a team that's going to perform.
Exactly.
If you can get talent to respect the basics and still play together like it looks like they're doing more, I think this can be a team that can make that run that seemed like it couldn't have happened a couple weeks ago. And that guy right there that we just talked to is the central piece to making that
You're
happen.
You're damn right. And look, I look at it like this. Look at the Blues' good games. Look at when they played Pittsburgh. Look at when they had that West Coast swing, when they played San Jose and Anaheim. When they're on their game, they are on it. They are doing everything right. And you can say that with, I guess, any team. But when they do it, man, they got the tools to be able to do some damage here. And it's fun to watch when they play well. Now, a couple weeks ago when they played bad, they played really, really bad. And now that, but it's good to see that transition from playing god awful to being on your game, and Jake Allen as well.
When they're playing the way they are now, as we see, they have a lot more than one guy scoring.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it spreads it out. It's not just Tarasenko getting the chances. I mean, what do you have, four shots on net yesterday? It's not like he's getting a ton of chances and they're just feeding him. You got a lot of dudes participating.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of young guys participating. Mm-hmm. No doubt about
it.
It's fun.
And look, I will say this. I'm not ready to say this team's back and is going to make a great run after a few games yet. I need to see a little bit more.
Like, Laterra, Stanley positive. Cup Finals MVP.
Yeah. All right, let's not get carried away. You see teams do this all the time when they change
coaches.
It's
nice to be positive
it
for
is.
Once.
Absolutely.
And if they have two road shutout wins, I'm going to pump their tires up a bit, and Coach Yeo's doing a good job so far.
And those haven't been lucky wins.
No.
Those have been structured, defensively strong, and forward aggressiveness on the offense as well type of
it's
wins.
It's not like Jake Allen just got hot and they got outshot 30
to become
10.
A drastically better team.
Up and
well,
down.
Last night was a dominant win.
Complete dominant
and
win.
Even during the Hitchcock time this year, we saw some dominant wins.
Yeah, we did.
And we even saw a couple times they put together a few in a row. We'll see if they can get three or four in a row, though, which we haven't seen in a
long
time.
No, we have not.
And I think that the important thing with this is that we saw those runs with Hitch when they were here in town, but they're doing this far on the road. They're up in Canada doing this right now. They're in Philadelphia doing this right now. Big test tomorrow.
Tough
but,
buildings
I mean,
to play in, too.
This is impressive hockey they're playing right now. I put it up against the streak from earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to like the way they're playing, no doubt, on both ends.
Cam, what's happening defensively? I mean, it just looks so different. They only got one shot on goal in the first period, but defensively, they were doing it.
If you ask any coach what the number one thing for a sound defensive group would be, the number one thing everybody needs to know would be communication. You got to communicate with each other, and I think that's really what they're doing. I'll give Alex Pietrangelo credit for that, because when I'm watching him, I can see him. He's pointing directions. You know who else does this too is Colton Parenko. You watch him behind the net. He's setting plays up. He's talking. He's doing this. He's showing people what to do. He's telling them where he's at. He's telling them where he's going. I like that. Communication on defense starts everything, and it controls everything. If you're not communicating, you're scrambling. So that's the first thing I noticed. And then once you start doing that, it's easier flow. Once you know where everybody is, you get the puck out cleaner, you get the puck in cleaner.
Seems like the better defense they're playing, the easier their offensive
goals
are.
It makes everything
easier. They're
getting
a lot of outlet passes.
Do you realize how hard it is when you get stuck in a D zone for a minute, minute and a half? You are done. You're done. And that's why faceoffs for fourth liners are so crucial, because when you win that back, you could dump it in. Now you got some offensive chances. You could bang some bodies. But you lose that faceoff and you go into D zone for 30 seconds, your shift is over. Your gas, stop starts are the worst thing.
855-282-8255 on the text line. And we are taking questions for life advice with the line change today. And the winner of the best question of the day is going to get two tickets to the wine, beer, and whiskey tasting this Friday from 7 to 11 at the Bud Light Party Center in Soulard Market.
I tell you what, though, they have to come up with something pretty damn clever, because
we got some good ones.
Who's
so
the
far.
One guy, and what do you say, you got beat by a stepdad? He's winning so far, right?
When that,
they were still.
Chubby clap.
They were still
Chubby
pouring clap. In. We're going to hit some of those when we come back in.
Because, yeah, okay, right now, in my opinion, he's number one right now. So he's leading the way right now with the beatings he's been taking.
And this event, the wine, beer, and whiskey tasting, you can sip on beverages from around the world and meet the people who make them. Dance the night away as well with tunes provided by DJ Quain. You can get tickets also at ststlmardigras.org for $40 or $50 at the door as well. And Cam, tell us about another Mardi Gras event coming up on Saturday, the Cajun Cook-Off, which also looks
delicious,
very...
by the way. Introducing the Kitchen Pass at the Cajun Cook-Off, presented by Mardi Gras, Inc. Inside STL and 590 The Fan to exclusively offer this to our listeners on Saturday, February 11th at Soulard Market Park from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is a unique experience for 40 listeners to get an inside experience into the behind-the-scenes STL dining. Hang out and watch local culinary wizards Tom Schmidt, Mike Johnson, Mike Emerson, and more to demo their culinary skills and sample their food before the public can. Includes premium open bar featuring Jim Beam, Effin' Vodka. That's Effin' Vodka. Hornitos Tequila, Barefoot Bubbly, Bloody Mary Mix, and Tim Larson's private stash of damn good whiskey for sampling and only to enjoy in the kitchen. Purchase tickets now on InsideSTL.com.
Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Hannah Gates, Matt White, and Eric Messersmith. This is the line change driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.